bit of van life.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Frankie.
And I'm Alex.
And together, we are FNA Van Life.
Today, we're doing another live podcast coming to you in the final hour before this podcast needs to be out. We've got some friends who are saving our butts.
Yeah, and this one's being fully recorded in the van, live, in the middle of kind of nowhere. We're on BLM in, where are we?
Near Moab.
Near Moab right now, yeah. So, who do we got with us? Introduce yourself, guys.
I am Jen.
And I'm Eric, and together we're defining adventure.
Yes, they are. They're out here defining adventure with us, actually, for the past week. When it comes to defining adventure, like, honestly, I felt like this whole experience that we've had with you guys has literally defined adventure. We've been snowboarding, we've been out on BLM, we've been just camping out in random places,
down whether it's Cracker Barrel,
down crazy roads, chattering down
hot tubs.
Hot springs. We've done a little bit of everything, right? What has this adventure been like for you guys since you got on the road, and like, when did you get out on the road and why?
So we got on the road like a little over a month ago. We spent 2 weeks up in the Northeast United States, primarily around Vermont, doing a little bit of skiing up there and then visiting some family members that we have in Connecticut and New Jersey. And then we went back home to Virginia for about a week. And then after that, we've been back out on the road, now going on our third week.
How's it going?
It's going good. I thought for sure we would not make it this far.
Yeah?
Really?
What has been, why did you think that you weren't going to make it this far? Like, what was on your mind that felt like you weren't going to make it?
Was I prepared enough? Have we done enough? Did we pack enough? Did I overpack?
Was the van built properly for the weather we were going to experience? Mm-hmm. The roads? It was really unknown.
Yeah, your van is beautiful.
Thank you very much.
We've been spending most of our time in their van because our van has been a disaster this last week. So this is actually the first night that we're having them over. But, like, honestly, your space is so welcoming and so big, and there's enough room for everybody to sit and hang out and sit around the table. And, like, so how long did it take you to build? Maybe tell everybody, like, what kind of van you have and, like... Okay.
So it's a 2020 Ford Transit. It's an all-wheel drive. It's the high roof and the extended model. And we were like, I think seriously one of the last 2020s off the assembly line. So it's basically a 2021. We got it. We took a delivery of it in January 2021 and then kind of just used it recreationally until maybe about May, and that's when we started to do the build. Mainly we were waiting on supplies because you know how the supply chain was during that time. A design and also the weather. So we wanted it to get a little bit warmer before we were out there trying to figure out what we were going to do. And honestly, one of the other things was just fear of getting started, like being overwhelmed with what to do, where to start, what do we need a design? And then eventually it was just like, you know what, let's just start. And from then it just got the ball rolling and it became easier and easier. So I think we'd started in May and kind of just dabbled a little bit. And then in June picked it up pretty hard and worked pretty much on it daily for like 2 months, maybe a little bit more than that. And we kind of knocked it out really quick, maybe 3 months.
But we took weekend trips. Mm-hmm. In it while it was being built.
Nice. And did those weekend trips help you kind of figure out exactly what you wanted to do?
Yes, because we changed our plan quite a few times.
Yeah. And like, were you experiencing, you know, what were the activities that you were possibly experiencing that changed your ideas on how you wanted it designed?
I don't think it was the activities so much as feasibility and practicality. Because one of the things that was important to both of us was to keep it open so that it didn't feel too closed in. We wanted to make sure we had a wide aisle, just like you have in yours. And
Jen just pointed out a butt and said it's because she has a big butt.
Well, we
I'm not letting you get away with that.
You just gotta, like, you know, you want to be comfortable to slide through, you know.
It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I feel you, you know, it's a lot of these vans that you see, you know, via Instagram or, you know, the tours that you'll see. You see a lot of them, they're very tight spaced, and like the camera makes them look a little bit wider than what they are. Mm-hmm. So that was very important for us as well. When it came to layout, you know, what did you kind of model it after? And what, like, I guess who did you look at and say, oh, I want to do the bed because of these people. I want to do this because of that, you know?
I don't think there was a specific person or model that we saw that we're like, that's what we want to emulate. We did take bits and pieces. You know, we watched plenty of YouTube videos, as most people who are about to build a van do. We had lots of people that we may have talked to and asked questions about. I know you guys were instrumental with asking questions and just providing a lot of information. But I think we just took bits of information from all over the place and kind of just aggregated it together to come up with our own. And we figured out we wanted a fixed bed. And I think we kind of just started at the back and kind of built forward. I mean, not necessarily.
We built around the bed.
Mm-hmm. Right. We knew we wanted a decent sized bed, and we've got a queen mattress in there that we didn't have to shave down or anything like that. We also wanted a good sized garage. And so that was important. And I wanted to keep the garage open for one, for airflow, but for two, so that way I could get to my garage from inside in case I needed to, whether mm-hmm. it be for our fuses, because our electrical is down there, and hopefully to get air circulating to keep our water tanks. We wanted a four-season van, so we wanted all the water tanks inside. Everything is inside. That's important. And of course, our heater vents outside and such like that, but it was important to keep climate control inside so that our batteries wouldn't freeze, our water wouldn't freeze, even though that may have happened anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it kind of happens to everybody, especially, like, depending on how their setup is. You know, they forget to insulate, you know, maybe the pipes, because the pipes are directly on the wall, right? Mm-hmm. And that makes it where they're, you know, comparable of freezing.
Well, even in the cupboards. Like, yeah. You don't realize how cold your cupboards stay.
Well, especially when you're negative 20 degrees.
Right. Yeah, right? So, like, the air mm-hmm. in your space is nice and warm, but you open that cupboard and it's, like, cold air.
Yeah. It's almost like a little air conditioner in there. You don't mm-hmm. even realize
extra
it.
Extra refrigerators.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You guys have been in the van full time for a couple of weeks now. Have there been, you know, many things that, like, kind of went wrong? Like you said, the pipes or, like, things that now you're rethinking?
The only thing that really goes wrong is the Berkey likes to commit suicide. It bounces out of the sink. So we're going to change that and copy you guys and hook it up.
Mm-hmm. For those that don't know what our van looks like, and hopefully we'll be able to put something up so that people who are listening to the podcast can get a visual on what that looks like. But we have a Berkey water filter that sits on our counter when we're stationary. And when we move, we put it in the sink and separate it into two halves. Sometimes we don't separate it into two halves. Like most of the times when we decide to go on a bumpy road, it's in one piece and the top piece likes to catapult itself across the van. So it's done that about 3 times now.
It's just cutting its own head off.
Yeah. It's
it's like the Sock'em Boppers, you remember
that's
those?
Right, yeah.
Or what are they called? The
Rock'em Sock'em
Robots.
Rock'em
Sock'em Robots, yeah. And you would hit them and they would pop the head up. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like that.
That's pretty good, though. I mean, you know, for having it built, and then maybe all those little mini trips kind of helped you.
I think so.
I think it did.
Dial it in.
I think it's overbuilt, too. I mean, it's built well. It's a lot of... It's glued and screwed and bolted to the walls, and it's really held up well, and I'm happy with that. And even that potential freeze issue we may have had, it may not have even frozen. We kind of thought we ran out of water. I don't know. It may have frozen, it may not have. We may have just ran out of water, or both. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think it's been pretty good.
And with that being said, were you running your heater as well the whole time? Like, did you shut it down possibly when you, like, left the van when you were in very cold weather? Because that could be something that people walk away and forget about, and they shut down their heater. And then, you know, you have a freeze up.
I think we were parked on a hill.
Okay.
For the water?
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Oh, yeah, so, like, why we were sucking air or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, so you didn't actually have enough water where the discharge was for the pump.
Or the
intake. Or the supply.
So that's what we thought. We thought we ran out of water. So it was real cold. It was like -8. Mm-hmm. And we did have the heater running. I think we had it running like basically 24/7. When the van wasn't on producing its own heat from the engine, we had the Webasto on. So we have the Webasto Airtop 2000 STC. So it's a gasoline version because it's a gasoline engine. And we did not do an altitude adjustment. So we were fine, though, because in Vermont, we were only at like 2,000 feet at base elevation.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked just fine. Had no problems with it, except for when it got really cold, it struggled to keep up.
Yeah.
And it's the 2,000 kilowatt version.
I will say that for the people out there listening that's looking at like what type of heater they want to get, if you are going to go over to Webasto, definitely go with the Evo 40. Like, we both have the ATS 2000. And the problem with it is if you're ever going to go to altitude above 5,000 feet, you have to definitely do the altitude adjustment. And that's still not guaranteeing that it's going to work great.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely spend the extra $300 or so, whatever it is, for that
so
Evo 40.
Already.
It is extremely expensive, but if you're already going to spend the money on it, you might as well get the version that you could go up to 10,000 feet.
Right.
And you actually get a bigger heater too as well, if I'm not mistaken. So you'll have the adequate ability to heat a space when it is -20 outside.
Yeah. And that's like what I considered that one. And I know there are guys, I read it in the Ford Transit forum. I know there are guys that have installed it, and I did want to install it under my passenger seat. So I was kind of worried that I wasn't going to have the room. So I did opt for the smaller one, but if I could in fact fit it in, it would have, I know it would have no problem keeping up in that kind of weather.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, also I hear S-Bar's coming out and they already have a gasoline version of the 2000 watt heater.
Mm-hmm.
It's out in Europe. It's coming to the United States. The dealer said it should be here about June. So that could be an option. And that's going to have automatic altitude adjustment as well, up to 10,000 feet.
Cool.
So you could still get the smaller package and the altitude adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And still run on gasoline. So you'll have a couple more options. And I know we just talked to another van, and they have the Chinese diesel heater.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's working okay for them, I guess.
Yeah, we had that in our last van. We loved it. The thing is, like, you could use a bunch of different fuels for it. You know, I'm just going out there and saying it. Make sure you do your research, though, because I don't want to tell you that you could do it and then you do it and you have something happen. So definitely do your research on which one you're getting. But a lot of them do say that you could use kerosene, which is going to be hard to find. Mm. But you could use oil, diesel. You could use
gasoline
supposedly. But
I find that hard to believe, honestly.
Yeah, from what it looks like, it seems like all the chambers are the same.
Yeah.
So I don't see why you couldn't. But I once again, like I said, do your research. Don't just take my word for it. I don't want you to get one and then, you know, you use it and something bad happens. So, do your research. With that being said, though, talking about the heater, you know, since the reason why you guys have been using the heater so much is because you like to do winter sports, right?
Mm-hmm. Jen especially.
Yeah.
I learned.
Yeah, you did. You did. I snowboarded 71 mountains in a single season. So I love to, like, pick people's brains on, like, how many mountains they've been to. And, like, so this season you've had an opportunity to ride a lot of different mountains. Mm-hmm. What's that been like, and how many mountains were they're involved?
I think we're at, like, 10, 11, something like that, or I don't really know. I've got the stickers on my refrigerator for all the ones we went to. I haven't been keeping. I could probably count them real quick, but not while I'm talking. But I think it's been somewhere between 9 and 11.
Cool.
And it's been amazing. We've had a great time. So let's see. We went to, I can list them, I guess. I don't know. This is my first year snowboarding. So we've done a lot of that. So since Jen wasn't much of a winter sports person prior to, she's tried skiing before. And it wasn't really her thing. So we decided to go ahead and try snowboarding. So that way we could both learn together. Now, I've been skiing since I'm 44, So
okay, 44.
So I've been skiing for probably about 40 years. You know, not every single year, but I mean, I started learning about when I could walk, and I just picked up snowboarding this year.
And you're really good at it. You're
killing it.
Killing it.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun, and.
He was literally going down double black diamonds with Alex and I at Snowbird, and we were doing the same at Brighton. It was kind of incredible to hear that he started in December and was able to ride all these different stuff and like trees. I don't even think he really did any glades, like riding through trees.
You
yeah.
and I went together?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because I was like, have you ever done trees before? And he's like, no. And I wasn't talking about like the marijuana trees. I was talking about riding through the glades. But yeah, so it was really funny just to like see him get out there and yeah, killed it.
Yeah, seriously, it was a lot of fun. And this whole trip was, you know, we were going to meet up for hang out at the hot springs and then we were going to go snowboard one day. And then like, I figured that one day and a half, you know, and then we were going to part ways. And it ended up being like, we snowboarded for 3 days and then hung out for another day or two or whatever. So it's been a whole lot. Yeah, it's been a whole lot of fun.
We even got to spend Jen's birthday with her and also their anniversary. So we feel really blessed to be able to spend that time with you guys.
Yeah. 25 years of marriage. Has anything changed since you got into the van? Has it been an adjustment?
Do you feel like it's brought you closer or anything?
I think we're pretty close as it
is. Yeah.
I don't think it's changed anything.
No, even when we're home at the big house,
it kind of
we're still right here.
It kind of makes sense, you know, 25 years of marriage, you don't think much would change. That means that you have a good relationship, though, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Because if things did change a lot, you probably weren't either fulfilling something for each other or, you know, the opposite where...
Or maybe like, one person's just not super into it.
Correct.
And, you know, is making it a hard time or something.
Yeah.
I think we knew our limitations and where we want privacy. Like, you know, there's certain things that I like to do when somebody might not be around. And
like
we found
the
ways...
Like bathroom?
Yeah, that one. Not necessarily, like, you know... You could put your imagination into that. There's certain things that are just more comfortable to do when you don't have to do them. Would I? Sure. But, I mean, it's just I prefer to be...
By yourself.
Yeah, we'll keep those smells alone.
As we're talking about this, he's, like, looking away because he...
No eye contact.
He's like, I don't want to look at you guys as I talk about this.
How can I say this without being too nasty about it?
You
gotta go.
And I get it, you know.
Or when you gotta go, she gotta go.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Exactly. Hey, I gotta go, so you gotta go.
And we were. It's fine.
Yeah. I feel like that's fairly easy for the most part. It's not like you're gonna be in there for an hour.
You don't always have to do it in there either. You could go into a grocery store or the Walmart or, you know, whatever.
I've only went in the van once, you know, for that. And, you know, it's just something we try not to do, but it's there in case you have to. Like, we've got a toilet and it's there. It's for emergencies and, you know, that's...
I feel like it's such an adjustment, too, because, like, Alex and I were full-time. So, like, you wind up doing those things. At first, you might be like, you know, look away, whatever. Now it's like we can almost make eye contact.
Yeah.
I feel like, well, Frank's always been like that. When we first started dating, he would like leave the bathroom door open and just be like having a conversation across like...
She's like, can you shut
the
door?
I'm like, can we finish this like when you're done? Like, why are you trying to have this conversation with me right now?
I've always been that way though. Like, I almost prefer to like... when I'm using the bathroom, be able, like, that's like my thinking seat.
Frank's such an extrovert, he can't even be alone on the toilet.
I feel the same way. I always have the door open. He's like, door shut, fan on.
It was the next day after we met, we were, you know, in the restroom at the same time. It's just like,
just chatting.
It is what it is. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's
natural. You know, everybody does it. It's good to be open and talk about it, though, you know. Yeah. I think that's one of the subjects that van lifers especially talk about, you know, just because, like, it's a real reality of the lifestyle that you don't deal with in a stationary home. Mm-hmm. Like, you just have a lot more space, so, you know, and doors that close.
And maybe, like, two or three different options for where you're going to go.
Maybe if you live in, like, one of those big-ass buses, you probably have a door. You know what I mean? Like, you could, and it's almost separated from the rest of the space.
And you could, in a van too. And that's like, you know, when we were talking about considerations, that was one of those things that I would rather have to deal with that situation than have a closed off stall for my bathroom mm-hmm. and shower. I'd rather have the visibility and the open flow mm-hmm. than closing off a huge section of a van for something that you're going to spend maybe a few minutes in a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's yeah, like, exactly. If that, yeah, right? Because yeah. you might go somewhere else. Yeah,
go outside. If you know.
We actually could make like a little curtain because we have the magnetic ceiling. So like we could mm-hmm. literally just put up our shower curtain across right. and be like, all right, I have my own privacy.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're too lazy for that.
We've got, same. I mean, yeah. as much as it may be uncomfortable, it's still easier than putting a curtain up. And we can do the same, but we just choose not to if we ever
Well, probably when it's an emergency situation, yeah. you're like, I don't have time yeah. for this curtain. That's like, true. Come on.
Give me, like, a couple of highlights from the last couple of weeks of traveling for you guys. Like, what have been your highlights over the last month?
I'll let Jen start.
I would say focusing on what we're eating.
Nice.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
It's awesome.
Having a plan, because you have to make sure you have the supplies.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you say your highlights have been? What has been, like, your most...
special moments.
Yeah. There's that many, you can't sort them out, I'm guessing.
We froze it. Mm-hmm. What, is there anything that just, like, sticks out in your mind that you really enjoyed?
I would say that just the freedom to yeah. just go and... Not you don't have a time limit.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going. You mm-hmm. don't have to clean the whole house because there's not much to clean.
Yeah.
What's the coolest thing we've done so far in this road trip?
The hot springs.
Yeah, that was pretty
I've
cool.
never done that before.
Some natural hot springs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
and we found some good ones too.
Yeah. How about you?
I would say, I mean, there's so many. Like, every single day, there's been multiple things that we got to experience that were awesome.
The views.
The views have been amazing. We've never driven further than, we picked up our van in Kansas City, and then we kind of, like, drove to Virginia, and we didn't really see anything. We just kind of, like, drove straight. Mm-hmm. So... Even though we had been to Kansas City, we had never really taken the time to look around. And we did a lot of that driving at night.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to see some of the sandstone mountains. And, well, the Colorado Rockies were amazing. The being there, that was a huge bucket list thing for me. I always wanted to go to Colorado. I always wanted to ski Colorado. We always wanted to meet you guys since mm-hmm. for the last whatever year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So that was amazing. It's been a great time with you guys. Seeing the stars in the middle of nowhere when you don't have the light pollution and you mm-hmm. can just see more stars than you can possibly see when you're living in a urban area or suburban area.
Yeah.
I
remember just like pulling up to the spot and we put out the chairs and Jen goes out and sits out there and she's just like, wow, this is living. This is life. This is what I love. Like, this is amazing. This is perfect. Like it was really cool to see you experience that because like, I don't know. I feel like we're jaded sometimes a little bit, just like we still love it. Like we go outside and we're like, this is beautiful. This is, like we still get that feeling, but it's just different when you see somebody have that feeling for, like, mm-hmm. the first time in the sense of, like, traveling, you know, this type of way.
Sure.
You know?
It was also really cool to get to see other van lifers, whether they're part-time or full-time, and just to see their experiences, what their rigs look like, and the volume of vans that are out here in the West is way different than in the East. And it actually kind of... a lot of people stress out about where to park, and I found that it's not as big of an issue as people seem to make it out to be. It was one of our concerns too when we first got on this trip. It was like, where are we going to sleep? And like, I know we have iOverlander, and you know those spots are sometimes blown out of proportion. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people use it, so it gets too many people there, and then the spot gets ruined. But we found that it was actually pretty easy to find places to stay, whether it be rest areas. We also do have Harvest Host, and we stayed at a couple of those. And that was cool too. And
I feel like that's pretty easy to use on the East Coast too, in the sense mm-hmm. of like, you don't have as much BLM land or like public land. So right. using things like Harvest Host or Boondockers Welcome, which I think they're the same now, right? So you'd buy just the
it's an Harvest upgrade. Host.
Yeah,
pay
yeah.
for an upgrade.
They have things like Hip Camp and, you mm-hmm. know, there's so many different sites out there that help you be able to kind of park at like different people's properties and whatnot, which makes it a lot easier to live this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And one thing that like we're also trying to do is we're trying to, when we go to these different places, to clean up as much as possible, so that way people allow us to stay in these places. So if you're going to become a nomad, or if you already are a nomad and you listen to this, please do the right thing and just, if you see garbage, pick it up. Because the next thing you know, you're going to be at a gas station or a place where you could throw it out. So, mm-hmm. you know, helping clean up just keeps these beautiful places open for us.
That was nice.
Yeah, we did the Nomads Cleanup this morning. We're doing a new thing on social media where every Saturday we do hashtag Nomads Cleanup. And we did it today with the two of you guys.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we stayed at a trailhead. And when we first looked around, we were like, I don't even know if there's, like enough garbage here to, like, bother like,
will
pick
we get
up.
A bag's worth?
Yeah. You
know? And we did.
Like, easily. More than, yeah. and easily, and, like, some of the stuff we couldn't even take out because it was so big. Like, it was, like, easy to fill up a garbage bag, yeah. and what did we spend, like, 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm. 10, 20 minutes, and if everybody did that, if you guys want to help join and spread the word, spread the message, this is a good, positive message, this is what we should be spreading on the internet and social media, use hashtag NomadsCleanup, shoot a little video, you know, do it in your own type of way, and just make that hashtag and tag three people that you think would do it too. Just help get the word out there, you know?
And we actually had two immediate positive impacts on that, because there was a guy that was coming back from the trail, and he was walking along, and he saw what we were doing, and he was just like, thanks, I don't even know if anybody else heard it. And that was cool because he's obviously a member of the community.
Yep.
So he may spread the like, hey, I just saw the, you know, a couple vans up there today and they were picking up trash.
They're not local, you know, right. Like they look at us like those guys weren't local and they were here cleaning up. Maybe we've impacted him to like want to pick up a trash bag and help out too, mm-hmm. or tell a friend and then they come and do it. Or it just spreads the message of like when nomads come around, we clean up.
Right.
So people are going to want us in their community. So the more people that do it, the better off we are as a community.
Yep.
What was the second?
Oh, that little girl. The family that stopped to do a quick hike while they were on their way to Moab. And she was playing, picking up rocks and stuff. And instead of her picking up shards of glass, she was actually able to just play with the rocks and just...
Yeah, yeah. That's potential just like cutting yourself open, right?
Mm.
And as like a mom... You know, that's probably like, alert, right?
That's the first thing I said when I saw a little girl. I'm like, that's why we cleaned up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because of her.
Yeah. And hopefully, like, she gets that message, too, and then wants to also do the same thing as she grows up, right? Yes. I mean, something so simple as, like, we said, oh, look at all that garbage to my nieces back in Brooklyn, and it registered to them, and they were like, ew, it's so gross. And I was like, yeah, it was like, we could come out here and take a trash bag and clean it up. If you guys would like another day. And they were like, yeah, yeah. Literally the next day, my niece asked like, hey, can we go to the park and pick up all the garbage? You know? And I was like, of course we can, you know? So obviously proper, you know, stuff on your hands, you know, mm-hmm. clean up.
Don't lick the garbage.
Yeah. Don't lick the garbage.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
Don't try to reuse the water bottles you find.
Or chew the gum you find.
Right. Gross.
Yeah. So what do you miss since you're on the road? I know
my
that.
Dogs.
Yeah, that's what I
my
figured.
My dogs.
Has Paco made you miss them more?
Yes, but I was more fearful of us traveling for the first time in all this cold and the heat
mm-hmm.
that I wanted their safety first.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to put them in that danger.
Do you feel like now that you've traveled in the cold and everything that it would be okay for the dogs to be with you?
Yes, I do, but she's it was still the other heater that just I wasn't familiar with yet.
What is your backup heater, that propane thing? It's very cool, and it works great.
Yeah, we got a wave heater, so I was going to bring a little buddy, and that's a little propane, a portable propane heater, too, and they're supposed to be safe to use indoors, but I started doing a little bit of reading, and then this other one is called the wave heater. I think it's made by... companion or something like that. It's the Wave 3, but if I was going to recommend one, I'd say go to the Wave 6. This is just a little bit too small to keep the van warm when it's really cold out. Mm. I mean, it's okay if it's like, you know, 20s, mid-20s or better, provided you have decent insulation, like which I think we do. It keeps it tolerable. It keeps it perfectly comfortable, actually. But if it gets below that, it's going to have a hard time keeping up. And so we've done a couple of things. We've tried some, like, fans to help circulate the air because it's a radiant heater, and it's a catalytic heater. So it's, like, it's a different type of combustion than the little buddy heater is, and it makes it more safe to use indoor. And that's why we decided to use that.
And so, you have it mounted really cool. So, like, you have your propane tank behind where they have their toilet box kind of thing. So the propane's next to the toilet. And then there's just the one thing coming out. And then the Wave is mounted on the wall there. Yep. Right. So unlike a buddy that you would have to like move around the space or like, oh, don't kick it over or, you know, whatever. It's mounted to the wall, which is really nice.
And that's exactly the reason why I did that is so that I could mount it to the wall in case we did bring the dogs, whether it's this trip or another trip. I don't want, if we had to be outside the van, I want as much safety as possible. The dogs are not going to go and lean up on it. You know, they're not that ridiculous, but they could inadvertently knock something over. So I don't want the little buddy heater out there for them to do that.
I think one of the biggest differences too is, like you said, the way that it like heats up. So like the little buddy heater has an open flame on it.
Right.
You know, you click a little pilot and that pops it on. The whole front face of it is actually an open flame. So it definitely makes a huge difference in the sense of, like, even if they were to, like, bump into that one or something.
You could get burned.
You could get burned by it, but, like, you're not going to set the whole place on fire.
Yeah, I think you could actually, like, probably lean on it for, like, a second or two and not get burned. I mean, maybe if you touch the metal, it might. I don't know. But
it'd probably be hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be as dangerous as the, you know, the open flame. And I guess there is like maybe a flame in there, but there's a different reaction. It's a chemical reaction. And I don't know. It seems to be working better. You got to keep a window open a little bit to keep a little bit of air flowing through. Make sure you have oxygen coming in just as a safety precaution as well.
Speaking of safety precautions, I actually realized when we started talking that you guys have already been on the podcast before.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, we've done this.
Yeah.
But we did it way back in episode number 18, which is like...
We were talking about safety because you used to be a police officer or still a part-time police officer?
Still part-time.
Yeah.
So... Now that you've actually, because back then you hadn't even gotten the van yet. So back then you were just like geeking out on like van life videos and like absorbing it all as a voyeur. And now that you're actually like living it, is there any like police tips or like safety stuff that you like have, you know, learned as your time on the road?
And before you answer that question, that podcast was awesome because I feel like we got a lot of really good information just based on like getting some more knowledge of how an officer may feel. So definitely go back and listen to that one, but go ahead, jump on in. Are you loving our podcast? Well, we have a way for you to get one more a month.
By joining our Patreon community, you get exclusive access to a 1-hour podcast ad-free every single month that does a deep dive into what it's really like to live on the road.
Depending on which tier you select, you could even get free merchandise.
Check out the link below and join the Patreon community today. You also get access to tons of behind-the-scenes content from our YouTube channel, too.
Now back to the podcast.
So it goes back to that the question, what I was kind of alluding to when we were talking about the places to sleep and people stressing out about it. And I did a lot of looking on Facebook, in a group on Facebook, about where you could park at different mountain resorts because a lot of them are not so van life friendly anymore because it's kind of been a little bit abused. And you know, who knows why. But one thing I've found that works well for me is I've talked to cops in the towns that we went to a couple times and they're like, you know, you could try to stay here. You know, that way you're not going to get bothered. So I was going straight to the source of who would be coming to knock on the door to say, hey, where can we park to not get the knock? Or at least if somebody does call, I've already made a face-to-face with you and you know who's there, you know who's inside. And it's like, It just takes a little bit of the stress out of the situation for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not have to bother me, even if somebody did call.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I know how it is on the receiving end of that call, when somebody calls in, said, hey, I just saw a suspicious vehicle up by a trailhead, or there's a van parked behind a building. So the officer has an obligation to go and respond to that call to investigate a little bit. And if they don't know who's inside, then you may get a knock, not necessarily to move, but to just find out what's going on to see if somebody is in fact inside or whatever the case is. But if that call comes in later and someone says, yeah, there's a suspicious vehicle in this municipal parking lot and it says no overnight parking, which the lot in Ludlow, Vermont, which is where Okemo is, says no overnight parking. So I called in, I talked to the police and they're like, yeah, that's fine. What are you driving? I said, a silver van. And they're like, yeah, that's no problem. So they knew I was there, so that if somebody called in and said, hey, somebody's parking in this parking lot, then the police can come out there. If they put their eyes on it, it's like, oh, it's a silver van with this plate. We already made contact with him. He's good to go. Not going to knock on him. Move on to next call. You can close it out.
Cool.
So, does that only matter for municipal lots? Because you did say that specifically. Or, like, because you were kind of mentioning the other night when we were looking for, you know, whatever, you're like, oh, well, you know, nobody's really going to probably tell you.
Right. It depends on state to state, but generally speaking, private property is totally different than public property, like city property or whatever it might be. So let's say you're parked in the parking lot of a restaurant and you went there after it was closed. There's a police officer who goes there probably isn't going to say you're going to be towed, because the property owner would have to be property lessee, whatever, would have to say, yes, I want that person towed. But generally speaking, you're not going to get towed without a chance to move first anyway. And so there's a lot of caveats to that. They might have an agreement already with the city that says, if somebody is parking here, you have permission to tow them. But even still, they're more than likely going to knock and say, see if somebody's in there,
and say move. Make sure everything's okay, for one.
Yeah, right. And also, it would be kind of funny for somebody to just, like, stop putting your van on a tow truck, and then you're inside of it.
Yeah, and they can't legally do that anyway. Yeah. You can't tow a vehicle with somebody inside it.
Gotcha.
So, like, I mean, most places.
Most places, yeah. And so, like, in that case, the tow truck driver would even knock and be like, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to have to move or I'm towing you, right? You know? So I think you'd be okay for the most part. But still, like, if a tow truck driver comes and is like, I'm going to tow you, don't be like, well, you can't tell me if I'm in this van. Just get in the front seat, turn the car on, and drive away.
Right.
You know, find another spot. Like we said, they're not that hard to come by. It's just a matter of, like, just being nice, trying to look out and find a place that it's possibly going to be the best situation for you to park, so you don't get the knock.
The biggest thing is you don't want to be disturbed. I mean, if you get a knock, you have to move. It sucks. Yeah. But, I mean, you want to go to sleep, and you want to be able to sleep through the night. Mm-hmm. So you don't want the inconvenience. It's not really the danger of actually being towed that I think people are worried about, nor should they be worried about. And just like, you know, the police officer is like, they don't want to mess with you anyway. You know, they got bigger fish to fry. And so it's an issue that's kind of a little over analyzed, I guess. But still, you want to be respectful of private property, public property, and try to be a good steward of van life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, park where you're not going to be a nuisance.
I think this goes back for me to, like, what we were talking about earlier is, like, the, you know, the cleanliness of you know, us keeping up on places and stuff. Because if we do that, then those people might not even call the cops. Because they're like, oh, these people are going to be clean. They're going to be courteous. They're going to be nice people. You know, I'm going to allow them to stay there now because I know that I'm actually going to benefit from it. They might even clean up my parking lot.
Yeah.
You know?
We're not setting up a fire pit outside. We're self-contained. We don't do anything outside. We're not ruining their environment. We're not polluting anything.
Yeah, especially in those little in-between spots, like the Walmarts and the, you know, if you're going to stop and you're going to eat real quick, that's cool. But don't, like, set up shop like you live there, like the, you own the place. You want to kind of be just kind, courteous, and quiet, and then get out of there and move on to the next spot. Now, when you're on, like, Beyond Land, you have your own campsite and stuff. You know, you could set up a camp. You know, you could put out chairs.
Right. But make sure you pack it out, because we've seen so much garbage on BLM.
Nice. Yeah. And I that's what it all comes back to, is just being respectful, common, and, like, you know, courteous to the area, to the people. And if somebody asks you to leave, just leave. You know, it makes the situation so much easier for you and for everybody else.
You got called an asshole today.
I did get called an asshole today. And the funny part is I responded by saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I won't do it again. You know, like, I was flying the drone around the van. I was trying to get shots of the two vans together, you know, during golden hour. And I flew over a van. I wasn't even really over the guy's campsite. I was next to it, like, to the left of it. And I think he thought we were, like, recording him or something. But we weren't. I didn't even get him on the camera at all. So, but he came over and honestly, what I really wanted to do was be a dick and do something again, because of the way that he said, you know, what he said. And I think that if you're just nice, and if you're like, hey, excuse me, man, I'm sorry, but, like, can you please not fly the drone over, you know, my area? I'd been like, no problem at all. I'm so sorry. Like, you know, I would have been even nicer. But I really should have been like, you know, this is an area where I'm allowed to do this, you know, so... If you're going to be an asshole, I'm going to be an asshole too, and I'm going to keep flying it there. But I didn't want to do that. I'm just not that guy. But I wanted to.
Again, but you were a good steward of the community, and you know, you handled it well.
And he walked away and hasn't come back.
No, and he won't, you know. But it was funny because, like, he came up and, like, was, you know. And I think you could only escalate that situation more if you're also a dick.
Sure.
You know, so... Try to step back a little bit, you know. I don't love confrontation, but, like, I would have it if I needed to. I just don't. I'd rather not, you know.
You kill him with kindness usually.
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah,
I try to.
Okay, so what is your kind of next phases? I know you guys are kind of leaving tomorrow and heading back to Virginia. You know, what's next in kind of your van life adventures?
Well. Of course, you know, there's going to be a couple more mountains from here to Virginia, so we're going to hit them, hit more mountains, go home, relax a little bit. He's got a hockey game to play Sunday, nice. And then we're going to pack up with the dogs and go visit my daughter and her new house and her dog.
Nice.
Nice.
And how far away is that for you guys?
That's about 4 hours.
Okay.
And then you'll kind of camp in the van? Or
Yeah, she doesn't like it when we camp outside, but, you know, that's home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's nice having, like, your own bed with you, too, right? And, like, your stuff. You could just, like, brush your teeth and do everything right in your van. You don't have to bring anything inside.
You know your pillows are comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, her bed is comfortable.
Like, when we made lunch today, it was like we were in a Walmart parking lot. But when you have your home there, it's a totally different vibe. It's
you look out the window to me and you're like, man, it's crazy how nice a Walmart parking lot could be. Right. And I'm like, yeah, when you're standing in your own house, you know? Like, it really is. It's kind of amazing. Alex and I talked about this many times in our videos, that, like, we'll be sitting in a Walmart parking lot and all the covers will be up and everything, and we'll forget where we are. Like, we'll literally forget.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll wake up. Or we'll open up the door and we're like, oh, shit, we're in a Walmart parking lot. We're in a Cracker Barrel.
Like, it's crazy because when we've woken up in the morning here, like, I had to think a couple of times, like, where are we? Where did we park? And I had to think about, like, what side, you know, the whatever it was on.
Like, where's the road?
Is the road on the right side? Is it behind us? Where's your van? Is it, you know, behind us, next to us? Anyway, but it becomes your own little bubble in here and... it's been really cool.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what side you guys were on, too. When I first woke up, I was like, wait, are they out that window or this window?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure enough. So, yeah, I mean, what is some advice that you guys would have for somebody who's, like, trying to get into van life or thinking about it or, you know, somebody's just, like, kind of a little bit scared to travel?
Be open-minded. Plans are going to change all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually change for the better. That was cool because you can be fluid with your van. getting into it, I say do it. Do whatever you can to get out there. If it's not a van, if it's in your car, if it's sleeping in the back seat, to get out and explore the nation and the world that we live in, do it. Because there's just so much more out there than you'll even ever get to see. Mm-hmm. And so never stop trying to see those things. You know, mm-hmm. just keep going and keep enjoying yourselves and keep living the dream.
Yeah, as much as the places that we lived previously were wonderful at the times that when we lived there, you know, for us, it helped us grow and become who we were. I think that getting on the road for us has changed our lives in so many ways. We've met so many wonderful people. We've been to so many beautiful places. I think that we've gotten a much better grip on, like, what the world really has there, you know, to offer you. You know, life isn't in a book. It's not in, you know, one specific house. It's everywhere. You know, get out there and explore and enjoy it.
And it's not even just the sights. It's the experiences. It's talking to people. It's doing things with those people. We'd never been to a vegan restaurant before, you know, getting together with you guys. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I don't know if that was something we would just arbitrarily try. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe at some point. But the opportunity presented itself. So, you know, you go with the flow. And it was a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We had some really good food since we've been out here. We've had some crazy. Whether it was one of you guys cooking or Alex cooking or going to a vegan spot.
Yep.
It's just been an all-around amazing experience, and we appreciate you guys coming out all the way to come meet us and hang out. If it wasn't for this lifestyle, we would have never met these two wonderful people. So if you guys want to follow them, check them out. Define the Adventure on Instagram. We'll link it down in the description below as well. So we will be doing a tour of their van. We don't know exactly when it will be out. We'll definitely keep you updated. So make sure to go check out our YouTube channel and follow us there.
One way or another, we'll get it up there. We'll make it happen. Yeah, we'll get it up there for them to check it out.
We can always share it with you guys.
I mean, your van is so beautiful. You have to share it with the world. You have lots of like innovative ideas in there, and it's really homey and comfortable. And
I know that after seeing their van and like experience and being inside it with them, we're changing. We're going to make several renovations to our van to actually replicate some of the things that they did, because we just think it's way more user-friendly.
Yeah.
Like something so simple as our refrigerator, the fact that our refrigerator pulls out, we want it to be more stationary and out of the way. So we think that the way that they put it in their van is perfectly placed.
So smart.
So
you've added a lot to our to-do list, but in very good ways.
Very good ways.
Yeah.
And you're welcome.
That's just like a little snippet of like what you could, you know, possibly see when you see their van. So we do appreciate it, guys.
We do too. We've had so much fun with you guys, so many cool experiences, so much weird experiences, like the laundromat, and
he didn't, yeah, that was very weird. I was gonna say he wasn't like pooping while we were in his van.
No. It's been an amazing, awesome like trip that we'll remember forever.
Freaking laundromat.
Oh yeah, I think the lesson from the laundromat is don't do laundry at 10 p.m.
Don't do laundry
and
on meth.
It's not what you want to do on your birthday.
Yeah. I will say we did have fun with it though. We did race some carts around in there.
Yes.
That was hilarious. We got to make that TikTok.
But you had to bring out your inner cop for that laundromat experience.
The cuffs even came out and everything. Yes. They didn't get used, but they came out.
Yeah. And the gloves.
Yeah, the gloves too.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I kind of forgot about that.
Good backup.
He was ready to grab me an extra set of gloves just in case we had to do something.
Oh, I did. They were in my pocket.
So, yeah, you know, listen, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Luckily, we were able to just de-escalate a situation and help out somebody in the laundromat. And make everybody feel safe, right?
That's right.
Well, we love you guys. Thank you so much for caravanning with us for the last week and coming to meet up with us. And we're so glad that we got to spend, you know, two very special moments, your birthday and your 25th wedding anniversary together.
Yeah, we feel blessed to be able to be a part of that for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think we both feel blessed too.
Yes. It was a great Christmas. A great birthday present.
You're still thinking about putting on the Christmas music, huh?
Somebody tried putting Christmas music on already, and it's March.
Is it a throwback at that point, or like a looking forward?
Always looking forward.
Always ready for Christmas. Always.
Love that.
I'm just always.
Did you buy any Christmas gifts on your trip this time?
No.
No? Okay, just asking, you know. If
not
you,
yet.
You know, see anything?
Not yet.
Not that I know.
Now that I've planted the seed, you'll be like, ooh.
Looking for Christmas gifts.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us. Yeah. Thank you for meeting with us and
of course.
Sharing your life
Paco
with us.
Paco has loved you guys, that's for sure.
Paco's ready to go outside and check out the stars.
Me too.
So we're going to sign off.
Yes, we are. So we hope that you guys have an FNA day.